In Galatians 5, we've been studying the fruit of the Spirit. We're at the halfway point. We covered the first four, love. Brother Sam's brought a wonderful message on joy, peace, and last Sunday, long-suffering. Now, we're in the middle. Today, we're going to talk about gentleness. Then we're going to round out the year with thoughts on goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But today, we want to talk about the fruit of gentleness. And when you think of gentleness, what is it that you think of? Probably not the dentist, right? Typically, that's not what we think of when we think of gentle. You know, maybe barbaric or something of this nature, but not gentle. Typically, when we think of gentleness, we might think of a mother, or we might think of something in that realm where somebody is sympathetic and encouraging and is of a very gentle nature or spirit. And the Apostle Paul illustrated this kind of gentleness to the new Christians in 1 Thessalonians 2:7 when he said, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Even as a nurse working with children. I was in the hospital last night with Jackson and Tiffany and little Kenton there and the nurses. And you've got to go through security and you've got to get your little name sticker. And I know all those guys. Our class has basically kept that place in business. So I know all the security guys by first name basis now. And it's, "Oh, Brother Gay, good to see you," and "go on in" or whatever. And I went back in there last night about 6 o'clock or so. And there's all the nurses and they got all their gear on. And everybody's just so careful with these babies that are being brought into the world. And Apostle Paul said, that's the way we minister to you, these new believers in the faith. Now, the Apostle Paul was a strong preacher of the gospel. There's no doubt about that. We study his life and we see the boldness that he had. But he understood and realized the importance of being a compassionate minister. He recognized a place for some gentleness in his ministry, and there's a place for that in our lives as well. Webster defines gentleness as being generous and kind. You know what we want this design class to be comprised of? People that are generous and kind. America used to be that way by and large, all across the board. And that's changed. And that's sad. Nowadays, when people are seeking your generosity and kindness, it's almost hard not to be wondering if there's an ulterior motive or if your safety is in jeopardy. The various things that we maybe think of or encounter in a given day or in a given week, but we want to be generous and we want to be kind. Benjamin Franklin was encouraging his children in this way, and he gave them this thought: "I will speak ill of no man, not even in the matter of truth, but rather excuse the faults I hear, and upon proper occasions speak all the good that I know of everybody." And that was his desire, to be a gentle and a good man. Now, the America we live in today is a dog-eat-dog society. Everybody watching out for themselves and taking care of number one first. And if I'm doing okay, and if I'm where I want to be, and if my needs are met, then maybe, just maybe, I'll think of somebody else. But we want to make sure that in our lives as a believer, as a child of God, that there is gentleness evidence. Gentleness or kindness is hard to find, but it's a fruit that God desires for you and I to bear. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." When God looks at unsaved humanity, he says, "I can't find any good." But when you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and now the Spirit of God indwells us and we are a child of God, something that should be an evidence of that is some goodness, some gentleness, some generosity, and some kindness. We certainly all are sinners in this room, and we have a sin nature, and it's not natural for you and I to be gentle or to be kind. But if we profess to be a Christian this morning, if we profess to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and His Spirit indwelling us, then this should flow out of our new nature. It should be a work that God is accomplishing in us. And for this evident to be true and for this characteristic to be a part of our lives, there's three areas that we need to study regarding gentleness. First of all, this morning, I want us to see in our study the example of gentleness. Okay, so we're supposed to have the fruit of gentleness, but what is it? Or how does it look like? Or what is the pattern that I am to follow? And let's look at the example of gentleness. As a Christian, you and I have an example even greater than our mom, and that is found certainly in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms 117, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of our Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Aren't we thankful for a God that His merciful kindness is great towards us? All of us have stood before the Lord unworthy of merciful kindness, but He gave it anyway. Because He's given that to us, and because He's provided this example and this pattern, you and I, as we know Him and walk with Him, should evidence some gentleness and kindness in our own life as well. What is it that we find in His example? First of all, I see the character of Jesus Christ. And it's important to recognize that this was a part of His character, His loving kindness. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and notice it in your notes, beginning in verse 21, "For even unto here were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." What an amazing passage of Scripture, descriptive of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was reviled, He reviled not. Boy, when people were slanted towards Jesus and unfair and unjust and false in their accusations, He reciprocated none of that. He just reciprocated love. He reciprocated forgiveness. He reciprocated a gentle spirit and kindness toward them. A few weeks ago, we had the privilege of touring the Holy Land, and one of the stops that we were anxious to make was the Garden of Gethsemane, and from there making our way to Golgotha and then the empty tomb. And there at Golgotha, the skull of the hill of the skull, we got to see the place where they believe the cross was, where Jesus Christ gave His life for you and for me. And I remember standing there and looking at that mountain and looking at that hill, and it has eroded some certainly since, and maybe picking out the skull is not quite as easy as it used to be, but thinking there on that hill as the Lord made His way, that He gave His life for you and I, not having to, not needing to, not deserving it, but rather choosing to give His life for us because He loved you and I. And when we deserved judgment and correction, He gave us mercy. He showed us kindness because of who He is. And if Jesus Christ, being reviled and mistreated, can be kind, and can be gentle, and can be forgiving, then it doesn't really matter what I'm facing today. If I have Him, I should be able to characterize the same reaction in my own life. And I should be able to respond with some gentleness and some mercy and some kindness. You might be around some family this week at a Thanksgiving gathering, and they may be less than kind. They may not like this year that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. They may not be the biggest fan that now you are in church and going to Bible study and maybe in discipleship and maybe got baptized or maybe starting to do more for the Lord. And there may be some people in your life, maybe your immediate family, perhaps, that are not quite seeing things the way you're seeing it. And this holiday season, it may not be a rah-rah celebration. It may not be an embracing of the direction that you're choosing. And it may not be a lot of encouragement. And I just want to encourage you, if you face that in any way, shape, or form, be kind. Be kind. Because that's the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His character, there was kindness. But then we see the compassion of Jesus Christ. Not only did He display this in His impeccable character to those who hated Him, but He also displayed toward them a heart of compassion. Titus tells us, "But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs together to the hope of eternal life. Jesus Christ was not just kind in his character, but it was lived out in his actions. He had a heart of compassion. It wasn't just handling criticism and ridicule and people being unfair and having a good spirit within, but even his actions toward those people were actions of kindness. Our character is not revealed in how you and I respond to a friend. Our character is often revealed in how we respond to a critic. And if you and I are going to live for God, we're going to face some critics. If you and I are going to live for God and please God, we're going to face some opposition. The Bible says, "And all who live godly shall suffer persecution." And as I look around this room, and as my wife and I prayed for this morning by name, we know that there are some in our class that they're striving to live for the Lord and they're facing some trials at this very moment. And I just want to encourage you, let Christ shine through you and be kind and respond to people that are adverse towards you in a very kind way. Why? Why is this so important? Well, we see that Jesus Christ died for our sins and He gave His life for us. And in doing so, Ephesians speaks of His kindness in this way, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. A display of the kindness of God was the gift of Jesus Christ, His Son. And many people have a distorted view of God. Boy, things that happen today, like what's happening internationally and with some of the terrorism and some of the wicked things that are happening around the globe today. And sometimes people will see that and they'll think, why would God let this happen? Or what is it that God is doing? And sometimes people get a perception of God that He's hateful or that He is full of wrath. And I just want to encourage you this morning that God is a God of truth. There's no doubt about that. But God is a God of love. He's gentle. He's long-suffering. And He is patient and kind toward us, for which we are grateful. And we are to possess that and to show that to others as well. I'm so thankful that God is patient with me. And I'm sure you're thankful that God is patient with you. But God has a purpose in that patience. God has a purpose with that gentle approach. God has a purpose with that kindness. He wants to lead you and I to a life that honors and pleases Him. Many of you have heard Dr. Getch in our ministry preach, and he'll do our winter revival in a few weeks in January. And he's a choice servant of the Lord. And I'll never forget the story he told as he was a grade schooler. And often he would come home and his mom would inquire about his day at school, and he would maybe mention some mischief he had gotten into, and she would begin to correct and admonish and scold him for his behavior at school. And this one particular day, he came home and he began to tell her about the trouble he'd gotten into, and he just had a real haughty spirit about it. His mother took him and bent him over her knee and began to spank him and trying to drive that out of him, if you will. He remembers being spanked by his mother, and he knew that it hurt, but he didn't want her to know that. So she finished her spanking and he got up and he said, "Is that the best you got?" His mother looked at him and said, "John, go see your father." Dr. Getch's dad was out milking the cows in the barn, and it was about 100 yards from the house. And Dr. Getch, as he tells the story, says that's the longest walk he's ever taken his entire life. He thought what end of the barn his dad might be working milking the cows, and he was sure to go in on the other end. And sure enough, as he went in the barn, his dad was all the way down on the other end. And he, as slowly as he could, made his way over to where his dad was working that milk machine on that cow. Dr. Getch had been taught never to interrupt his dad when he was working, and so he stood there silently, just kind of hoping that his dad would work forever, as long as he possibly could. Finally, his dad finished milking that particular cow, and he unhooked the machine, and he set everything down, and he turned around, and he walked over to his son, and he looked John Getch in the eye, and he said, "Son, your sin makes me sick." And then he just began to weep. Dr. Getch, as he recalls the story, says, "I wish he would have grabbed a 2x4 and hit me. I wish he would have thrown me against the wall. I wish he would have done something, anything, but standing there, weeping over my sin and my attitude." Dr. Getz said, there was a lot of sin that I chose not to do in high school because of a father who showed me kindness. A lot of parties I didn't go to. A lot of things I didn't get involved in. I wanted to, but I didn't want to see my dad like that again. And you know, that's a picture of our Heavenly Father. Sometimes He looks at you and I, and when we deserve the 2x4, there's a tear. But there's a purpose behind that tear. And that is that you and I would see the loving kindness and the gentleness of an Almighty God and an example in Jesus Christ, and that we would begin to align our life and live it like He would have us to live it and to follow that example. So not only His example, but secondly, the expression of this gentleness. All right, if we're supposed to live this out, if this is supposed to be a part of our life, then what does that look like? Or what is the standard? Or how can we express this fruit of gentleness in our everyday lives? And there's four areas that I want you and I to look at that we can incorporate this gentleness in our daily routine. First of all, through sensitivity. Through sensitivity, one of the first ways that we can express gentleness is through being sensitive. And God wants you and I to be tender and sensitive, certainly toward God and towards those that are around us as well. It doesn't really matter how much of the Bible we know. It doesn't matter all of the convictions that we possess. It doesn't matter all of the standards that we may have. If we fail to exhibit kindness, then God's not interested in our faith, and we're certainly not going to win anybody with our faith. And I want to encourage you this week, be sensitive to people around you. Be sensitive to your spouse and your children. Be sensitive to your family and to maybe those in your workplace. Be sensitive in the close relationships that you have. Philippians 2 tells us that we should have this mentality. This young lady in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's so easy in our culture and society to get caught up in me, 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 me. How am I doing? How's it going to go for me? How do I feel? Am I happy? Am I full of joy? Am I satisfied? Am I content? And God is telling you and I, the gentleness that God wants to produce in your life and in mine is going to be shown through being sensitive to others. Life isn't about me and life isn't about you. God wants you and I to live our life for others. He wants His Spirit to accomplish His work that we may be sensitive to those in our lives. So husbands, when's the last time we've been tuned in to something maybe bothering our wife and then went to her and asked about it? Wives, when's the last time you consider the need of your husband or your children and were sensitive in this way? A man said to his friend, "Few things upset my wife, and it makes me feel rather special to be one of them." And that's certainly not the spirit that you and I want to have. And this week, while we have so much to be thankful for, we want to be gentle and sensitive to those around us. But then let it be not only through being sensitive, but through sympathy. Romans says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep." Everybody has burdens. Be careful what you say to everybody, because you never know who's having a bad day. I'm amazed sometimes, maybe just standing in the lobby after class, standing in the lobby after church and shaking hands, and sometimes becoming aware of the burdens people carry. And it makes me think, number one, Lord, I have so much to be thankful for. And number two, Lord, help me to have sympathy. Help me to love people the way you love them. And help me to minister to them in the best way I know how. You say, "Brother Rule, I wouldn't even know what to do." You can pray. You could pray for somebody. If you know somebody in our class that's going through something, pray for them. And by the way, it's not wrong to tell them you are. "Hey, I've been praying for you. How are you doing?" That's an okay thing. This is a family. That's what it's all about. And we want to show that sympathy. A Spirit-filled Christian is marked by his response to adversity. Listen, all of us are going to face adversity. And again, that's when our character is revealed. And we want to make sure we're responding correctly. And then we want to make sure that we have sympathy to those that are hurting and going through a time of adversity. Somebody in our class who's going through a difficult time, or maybe praying for a job or having some health challenges, this should be the place where they're rallying to encourage and to help. And I want to commend you, because in so many ways you're doing that, for which I'm grateful. But then let her see, through straightforwardness, we want to be sensitive. We want to be sympathetic. But then if we're going to be gentle, we've got to be straightforward. And what I mean by this is that we've got in our gentleness to realize that we have to speak the truth in love. Gentleness is not weakness. And sometimes when we love someone, it's necessary to be straightforward with that person. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There's going to be times in your married life when you have to kindly and lovingly confront your mate because you need to work something through. There's certainly going to be times as parents where you need to correct your children. That's what loving parents do. And there's going to be times in the lives of your friends where you might speak the truth and love to them. Listen, in the His Design class, it should not just be Brother Rule who says, hey, we missed you Sunday. You might notice somebody around you not here. Now, maybe they're getting a head start on turkey. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they're sick or whatever. But what I'm saying is, we want to have a class that's full of gentleness and kindness and love, but is willing to be straightforward because we love people and want to see them grow in their faith and want to see them honor and please the Lord and want to see them have the tools in their life they need to succeed in every facet of their life. We want to be willing. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you're your entire repertoire of friends in your life are the kind of people that tell you what you want to hear, you don't have a lot of real friends. Do you have the kind of people in your life that you know will speak the truth to you, even when it's not what you want to hear? Even when it challenges you a little bit? Well, I want some people in my life that when I'm around them, it lifts me up. It challenges me. It sharpens me. It convicts me. It gives me some motivation, some inspiration to go forward. And we all need that in our lives. And we want to be that kind of friend. And I'm not talking about being proud. I'm not talking about being judgmental. I'm not talking about looking down at anybody. I'm just talking about who can we encourage? Who can we provoke to love and to good works? Kindness is a form of gentleness and showing that love and the willingness to be honest with others. Gentleness is not weakness. I love this quote, but it is strength under control. It's the ability to speak the truth in love. It's the ability to say what needs to be said in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. But then letter D, through spontaneity. Our kindness can be expressed through spontaneity. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look at Galatians 6:10. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, what is this verse teaching you and I? We don't have to wait till Thursday night visitation to go visit somebody. We don't have to wait till the donut line in class to talk to somebody. The Bible says we can do good at any time we have an opportunity. And I want and I pray that our class is comprised of people looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. Who can I encourage today? Who's sitting among us that I could do something for this week? How could I be a blessing to them? Maybe a note, maybe a call, maybe a visit, maybe a gift in secret. I don't know what it is. Maybe I can watch their kids for them this week. Maybe I could do this. Maybe I could do that. Maybe I could be a blessing. And just looking spontaneously, how can we be a blessing? How can you spontaneously be a blessing to your family this week? Husbands, what can you do for your wife this week? Just something special. Doesn't have to be a lot of money. Just something special. Wives, what can you do for your husbands this week? Just a spontaneous way to communicate gentleness, kindness, love. Parents, what can you do for your kids this week? Aren't you thankful God's blessed you with children? I sure am. What can we do for them this week? How can we express that gratitude? What fun thing can we plan? What can we do to spend some extra time? It's important that our gentleness is on display, that's being expressed, and sometimes it's best when it's spontaneous. Then thirdly and lastly, the empowerment of gentleness. Okay, Brother Rule, we see the example of Christ. Wow, what shoes to fill. We see maybe some areas in which we could express this gentleness, but how? Where do we get the strength and the power for this? It's not really a part of my DNA to be gentle or to be kind or to be merciful. I just think people should get it like it is, and I think they should get what they deserve. And by the way, if we all got what we deserved, we'd spend an eternity in hell. But because God was gracious and merciful toward us, we can know we're going to spend an eternity in heaven. And God says there's going to be times in your Christian life where you might have an opportunity to give somebody what they deserve, and you might choose to give them mercy or kindness or gentleness because of the power that's in you. Well, where does it come from? Letter A, we are empowered by the Spirit. Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and we've been learning these things, and today gentleness. It doesn't say the fruit of the church. This is not a fruit that an organization produces. Listen, I'm big on going to church. I was in the 8:30 service. I'm going to go to the 11 o'clock service. I'm going to be here tonight at 5. I'll be here Tuesday night. We'll be here next Sunday. I'm big into being in church. I think a Christian ought to shoot for 3 to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, taking advantage of every opportunity to hear the Word of God. And I go because I need to go. But listen, if I have this idea that, man, if I go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I hear the preaching of pastor, and I go to his design, and hear the teaching, that's all I'm ever going to need, and I'm going to be the best Christian I can be. Wrong. It's not enough. Listen, if you only ate 3 meals a week, how you be doing? You've been a great weight loss program, probably, but you'd probably be hungry at the very least, right? And we're going to need more than just 3 spiritual meals. We're going to need some nutrition that we can learn to take in on our own. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And it's not something that the church can produce on its own. And I'm thankful for the church, but it is going to be produced by the Spirit of God in us. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, to be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Boy, the Bible emphasizes a Spirit-filled life. Why? Because God knows this isn't our own DNA. It's not natural to bear these evidences of being a Christian. We're going to need God's help. And these should be evidenced in our homes. Our natural response sometimes at home is not gentleness. But our faith is most often tested at home. And we should be gentle there. We should be gentle in our community, in the workplace, and in the neighborhood, known as a gentle Christian. We should be gentle in our church, kind, recognizing the burdens of others and how we can be a help or blessing. And then lastly, letter B, we are encouraged by the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are empowered by the Spirit of God, but we have a pattern to follow. Notice it in Ephesians 4 as we close. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, have you ever been hurt before? Have you ever been disappointed before? Have you ever been let down before? Sure. Probably everyone in the room. Jesus Christ says, be kind. Forgive. That's not what they deserve. That's not what I want to give them. I know. But if you let God work in you, give kindness, forgiveness, gentleness. Why? Because then they're going to see something in you that's not you. They're going to see Him. Because that's how He lived. It's not enough just to be a Christian in name only. Be not hearers of the word, but doers also. We need to live the Christian life in such a way that when people see you, they see Jesus Christ. Boy, look how they responded to that. Look how they answered that. Look how they treated that person. That doesn't make any sense. There's something different about them. You know what I'm excited about this Thanksgiving? Is how many in our class who have grown so much in the last 12 months will go to family gatherings, and I have no doubt in the corners, words will be said, what happened to them? They're acting totally different. I wasn't even recognize them. I wonder what they've been doing. Wouldn't it be great just through some expressions of gentleness and kindness, that there were some opportunities to tell some people about the Savior you've met this year and what God's been doing in your life. May our lives evidence a relationship with Christ, and may we express a Spirit-filled and Spirit-empowered gentleness in the way we live. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for some time together in your word today. Lord, I love our class. I'm so thankful for what you're doing here. And Lord, I pray that you would find us desiring to grow, wanting to bear this fruit, the evidences of a relationship with you. And may we strive this week to be gentle, following your example, looking for practical opportunities to express it, but knowing we're never going to do it on our own. We've got to have you. And as we walk with you, as we go to church, as we read your word, as we learn more of you, then by the way we live, may it be clear. It's no longer just us. It's Jesus in us. Lord, I pray that you'd give us that testimony this week and bless our class. Give them a wonderful Thanksgiving and bring us back safely here next Sunday, we pray. In Jesus' name.